All right, welcome to our deep dive into Chapter 1 of your public speaking textbook.
It's going to be fun.
Way more fun than just like reading it, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to be talking about public speaking as advocacy and really like how communication shapes the reality around us.
Yeah, and you know what I think is really cool about this chapter is that it starts off by asking you to think about your favorite speaker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it gets you thinking about how they deliver their message and, like, what kind of impact they had on you, you know?
Totally. And the book even brings up, like, one of the author's favorite high school teachers, Mrs. Permeswaran, who could make even grammar lessons, like, exciting.
Wow.
Right? It makes you realize that, like, public speaking isn't just about, like, conveying information, you know? It's about creating an experience for your audience.
It's like, you know, the difference between reading a recipe and then actually tasting the food.
Yeah.
Like, ingredients are important, but you need that chef.
Totally. So let's jump into the core concept here. Like, public speaking as advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean?
Right.
You know, especially for someone who's new to public speaking.
Yeah. So, like, the textbook actually defines public speaking as having these key components. So you have a speaker advocating for a message in a specific context and usually prepared and with a purpose, whether that's to inform, persuade, or entertain.
Okay.
But it's like more than just ticking boxes, right?
Yeah.
It's about using your voice to promote an idea or like take action toward a goal or even propose solutions to problems.
So is it like when you're passionate about a cause and you're trying to rally your friends to like volunteer or donate, you're advocating for that thing?
Exactly. Like we've all been advocates in our own lives in different ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, public speaking takes it to a larger stage where you might be representing a group's interest or even challenging like societal norms, like about like historical figures like Martin Luther King Jr., or Malala. Like,
wow. Yeah.
They used public speaking as a powerful tool to advocate for social justice and equality.
Those are some pretty high profile examples.
Right.
Makes me think about, like, how much responsibility comes with that, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if you're advocating for a cause.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why the chapter really emphasizes the importance of ethical communication.
Right.
And this is where it gets really interesting, right? It's not just about, like, being passionate. It's about being responsible with the power of your words.
Okay.
You know, you have to be truthful. You have to credit your sources and avoid any form of, like, harmful speech, like hate speech or defamation.
Which makes sense, especially like today where information spreads so quickly.
Yeah.
It's even more important to be ethical and like build that credibility as a speaker.
Totally. And like, think about it. Your classmates are relying on you.
Oh, yeah.
To present accurate information. They trust that you've done your research,
yeah.
You know, and that you're being ethical in how you're presenting your ideas.
Well, it's not just about the content of our speech. It's also about like how we present ourselves.
Yes.
We need to build that trust with the audience.
Exactly. Your actions as a speaker speak volumes, so to speak.
Okay. I see what you did there.
Uh-huh.
So we've established that public speaking is about advocacy, ethical communication.
Yeah.
But the chapter also digs into this idea that communication is constitutive.
Yeah.
And that sounds kind of academic. What does it actually mean?
So it means that communication doesn't just reflect reality. It actually shapes and creates it.
Whoa.
Like the words that we choose, the stories we tell, the way we frame issues.
Yeah.
They all contribute to like constructing our understanding of the world.
So it's not just about conveying neutral information.
Right.
It's about actively participating in like shaping how people see things.
Exactly. And think about like the ongoing debate about climate change.
Okay.
The language we use to describe it, whether it's global warming or climate crisis, it influences how people perceive the issue.
Right.
And then whether they're motivated to take action, you know.
That's a great example. It shows how powerful words can be in shaping like public opinion or even policy decisions.
For sure. And that's why understanding communication as constitutive is so important for public speakers.
Okay.
You have the ability to influence how your audience understands a topic.
Yeah.
And that's a responsibility that, you know, you don't want to take lightly.
It's a bit mind-blowing to think about.
Right.
So how do we, as public speakers, how do we start to put this concept into practice?
Yeah.
Like, how do we use our words to advocate for change in a way that's ethical and impactful?
Well, you know, the chapter also highlights that communication is contextual.
Contextual. Okay. Well,
yeah. It means that communication isn't happening in a vacuum.
Right.
It's always influenced by the time, place, and like the broader social conversations that are happening around it.
Okay.
So think about it this way. A speech about women's suffrage would have had a very different impact in the early 1900s compared to today.
Oh, for sure.
The historical and social context, it shapes how that message is received and understood.
It's like, you know, telling a joke that was funny 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It might totally fall flat.
Exactly.
Because the context has changed.
Totally.
So as speakers, we need to be aware of current events, cultural trends, and like the historical background that might be influencing how our audience understands us.
Yeah, like you got to be in tune with the vibe of the moment to effectively get your message across.
I like that, be in tune with the vibe.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of cultural trends, the chapter also mentions that communication is cultural, right?
Absolutely. Every interaction is shaped by the values, beliefs, and norms of the cultures involved.
So even if two people are speaking the same language,
yeah,
their cultural background could influence how they interpret each other.
Exactly. Like different cultures have different norms for eye contact or personal space, even humor, you know. Think about how a gesture that's considered polite in one culture could be offensive in another.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that time I, like, accidentally offended my friend from another country because I didn't understand their norms around gift giving.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
It's a good reminder that, like, effective communication requires cultural sensitivity and, like, a willingness to learn about other people's perspectives.
Absolutely.
So as public speakers, we need to be mindful of our own biases, how our words might be received by people from different backgrounds.
Exactly. It's about being reflexive, like, you know, critically examining our own assumptions and being open to understanding how others might perceive our words and actions.
So we've talked about how communication shapes reality and how we need to be mindful of our audience.
Yeah.
But let's get practical. If I'm like getting ready to give a speech, what are some things I can do to really connect with the people listening?
Well, one thing that really helps is to think about their needs and interests. Like, what are they hoping to get out of your speech? What questions might they have?
Okay.
If you can anticipate those things, you can tailor your message to be more relevant and engaging.
That makes sense. It's like when you're picking a gift for someone, you know.
Yeah.
You think about what they would like, not just what you think is cool.
Exactly. And speaking of gifts, another way to connect with your audience is to offer them something valuable.
Okay.
It could be like new information, a fresh perspective,
yeah,
a compelling story, or even a call to action that inspires them to like make a difference.
So it's not just about like giving them the information.
Right.
It's about making it meaningful.
Yeah, make it memorable.
Yeah.
Think back to that chapter opening example of Mrs. Permis Warren, that high school teacher,
right,
who made grammar exciting.
Yeah.
She didn't just lecture about the rules. She brought them to life with engaging activities, real world examples.
It's like the difference between reading a textbook and watching a documentary.
Right.
Like a documentary brings the subject to life.
Yeah, for sure.
With visuals and stories and interviews with experts.
Exactly. And just like a good documentary filmmaker, yeah, you as a speaker need to think about how to use your voice, your body language, and even visual aids to enhance your message.
Okay.
Keep your audience engaged.
So it's about being a storyteller.
Yeah.
A performer.
Uh-huh.
And a teacher all at the same time.
Exactly. And remember, the chapter emphasizes that public speaking is a skill.
Right.
It takes practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feedback, a willingness to step outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, for sure.
But the more you do it, the more confident and effective you'll become.
That's reassuring to hear.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to feel intimidated,
right,
by the idea of public speaking.
Absolutely.
But it's helpful to remember that it's like a journey, a destination.
A journey worth taking.
Right.
Public speaking can be a powerful tool for personal and professional growth. It can help you refine your thinking, build your confidence, and even make a positive impact on the world around you.
Okay, so this is all starting to make me a little nervous about actually giving a speech.
Really?
I mean, it's one thing to understand these concepts, but how do we deal with the anxiety that comes with public speaking, especially knowing now that our words have so much power?
That's a great question, and one that the chapter addresses directly.
Okay.
Public speaking apprehension is completely normal.
So I'm not alone in feeling like I might pass out before a presentation.
You are not alone, trust me.
Okay.
The chapter highlights like common fears, like the fear of failure, fear of judgment.
Oh, yeah.
Fear of forgetting your words, all very common. But the good news is that there are strategies to manage those nerves and like build your confidence over time.
Okay. I'm all ears. What are some practical tips for calming those pre-speech jitters?
All right. So first, it's important to remember that a little bit of nervous energy can actually be helpful.
Really?
It can give you that like extra boost of adrenaline to deliver, you know, a more dynamic speech. The key is to like channel those nerves in a positive way.
So don't fight the butterflies, just make them fly in formation.
Ah, I like that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And there are lots of like practical techniques you can use. Like
what?
Like preparation is key. You know, the more you rehearse your speech, the more confident you'll feel.
Okay.
And don't just practice in your head. Actually say the words out loud.
Right.
You can even record yourself.
Oh, yeah.
See how you come across and maybe identify some areas where you can improve.
That's a good tip. Sometimes I get so caught up in like memorizing the content that I forget to practice actually delivering it.
Yeah. And there are also things you can do like on the day of your speech to manage the anxiety.
Okay.
Make sure you get enough sleep the night before, eat a healthy meal, choose an outfit that makes you feel confident.
Right.
Like these little things can go a long way in reducing stress.
Those are great practical tips. But what about the mental side of things? How do we overcome those like negative thoughts that creep in?
Oh, yeah.
And sabotage our confidence.
That's where mindfulness comes in.
Mindfulness, okay.
Yeah, it's all about focusing on the present moment and letting go of those judgmental thoughts.
Right.
So, you know, techniques like meditation or deep breathing exercises can really help calm your nerves and bring you back to a state of focus.
So instead of dwelling on what might go wrong, we can just like focus on the task at hand.
Exactly. And remember, your audience wants you to succeed.
They're
there to listen and to learn from you.
That is reassuring. Sometimes it's easy to forget that.
Yeah.
And get caught up in our own anxieties.
For sure. Picking up where we left off, let's delve into the role of the audience. They're not just passive listeners, you know?
Yeah, right.
They're active participants who bring their own, you know, unique experiences and perspectives.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's easy to get caught up in our own message and forget that communication is a two-way street.
Exactly. And when we think about public speaking as a form of advocacy, like, understanding your audience is even more crucial.
Okay.
Think about it. If you're trying to persuade them to support a cause, you really need to understand their values and their beliefs.
Their concerns, yeah.
Yeah, to like tailor your message effectively.
It's like trying to sell someone a product that they just don't need or want.
Right.
You got to connect with their needs to get them on board.
Exactly. And this is where audience analysis comes in.
Okay.
The chapter talks about like different demographic factors, age, gender, cultural background,
right,
even political affiliations that can shape how your audience interprets your message.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach?
No.
We need to tailor our message to resonate with the specific audience.
Absolutely. So imagine you're giving a speech about the importance of like investing in renewable energy.
Okay.
If your audience is primarily, you know, young people who are already passionate about environmental issues, you might focus on like the economic benefits of green jobs, you know.
Okay.
But if your audience is, say, older or more skeptical individuals, you might need to address their concerns about the cost.
Reliability.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really helpful example.
Yeah.
It shows how even a seemingly straightforward message can be perceived differently depending on who you're talking to.
For sure.
But how do we actually go about analyzing our audience? Do we need to like become private investigators?
Uh-huh. It doesn't have to be that intense.
Okay, good.
There are a few like simple things you can do to get a better understanding.
Okay.
So first, consider the occasion, the setting of your speech. Like a presentation at a professional conference is going to have a different tone and style than a casual talk at a community event, right?
Right. So context matters. It's like choosing the right outfit.
Exactly.
For the occasion.
You also want to think about your audience's prior knowledge and interest in the topic.
Right.
If you're speaking to a group of experts, you can dive into the technical details, but if they're unfamiliar with the subject, you'll need to provide more background.
Definitions, yeah.
Exactly. It's about meeting your audience where they are.
Right. And don't underestimate the power of observation.
Oh, yeah.
Pay attention to your audience's body language, their facial expressions.
Yes.
Are they engaged? Are they nodding along?
Yeah.
Or are they looking bored?
Right. Like those nonverbal cues can give you valuable feedback in real time.
So it's like reading the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You need to be attentive to how people are responding and like adjust accordingly.
And remember, audience analysis is an ongoing process. It's not just something you do once before your speech. You can continue to gather information and like adjust as you go.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how audience analysis is crucial for public speaking, especially when we're advocating for something.
Yeah.
But what about the flip side? Like, what does it mean to be a good audience member? Especially when our classmates are preventing and might be feeling nervous, you know?
Oh, being a supportive audience member is just as important as being a skilled speaker.
Okay.
It's about creating a positive and encouraging environment
Right.
where everyone feels comfortable to share their ideas.
So it's not just about sitting there and passively taking in the information.
No.
We have an active role to play.
Absolutely. And there are a few simple things we can do to be more supportive.
Like what?
Well, first and foremost, be present, be attentive,
Okay.
put your phone away, resist the urge to check your email, and just focus on the speaker.
It sounds so basic,
I know, right?
but it's so easy to get distracted.
Yeah, totally. And remember, your body language speaks volumes. Make eye contact with the speaker, nod along to show that you're listening, and avoid like fidgeting or looking bored.
Right, because I've definitely been on the receiving end of those, like, death stares from the audience.
Oh, yeah.
It can be so nerve-wracking.
I know.
So being mindful of our body language is crucial.
It is. And when the speaker is finished, offer genuine applause and encouragement. You know,
Right.
even a simple good job can go a long way.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
And what about asking questions? Is it okay to ask questions during a presentation, or should we wait until the end?
It depends on the format, you know, and the speaker's preference.
Okay.
Some speakers encourage questions throughout, while others prefer to address them at the end.
Right.
If you're unsure, it's always a good idea to just ask the speaker or the instructor what the protocol is.
That makes sense.
And when you do ask questions, like make sure they're relevant and respectful
Yeah.
and that they contribute to the overall discussion.
Right. Avoid those questions that are just designed to show off.
Yeah.
Right. Like the goal is to create a collaborative learning environment.
Exactly.
This all ties back to the idea of communication being constitutive, right?
Yeah.
As audience members, we're not just passively receiving information, we're shaping the meaning through our engagement.
That's a great point. It really highlights that interconnected nature of communication.
Right.
We're all co-creators of meaning, you know, whether we're the speaker or the listener.
It's making me rethink my role as both a speaker and an audience member.
Yeah.
It's not just about delivering or receiving information, it's about actively participating in this shared process of creating meaning.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to, you know, the central theme of this chapter, public speaking as advocacy.
Right.
When we approach it with this awareness of its power and ethical implications,
Yeah.
we can really use our voices to make a difference.
And when we're in the audience, our listening and our engagement, our thoughtful questions can contribute to a more positive learning environment.
For sure.
It's all about recognizing that communication is collaborative,
Yeah.
and we all have a role to play in making it meaningful. I
Exactly.
feel like we've covered so much in this deep dive.
We have.
You know, we talked about the definition of public speaking, ethical communication, the power of communication, and the importance of audience analysis.
Right.
And we even touched on strategies for managing anxiety.
Yeah.
Being a good audience member, is there anything else we should touch on before we wrap up?
I think we've covered the key takeaways,
Okay.
but I would encourage listeners to like go back and revisit those sections on communication apprehension and addressing public speaking
Yeah.
anxiety. You know, there's a lot of helpful advice in there for new and experienced speakers.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed.
Right.
But the chapter gives some really practical tips
Yeah, for
for
sure.
managing those nerves.
Absolutely. And as you move forward on your public speaking journey,
Yeah.
just remember that it's a process of learning and growth.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to experiment with different approaches, seek feedback, and most importantly, have fun with it.
I love that public speaking can be a powerful tool for personal and social change.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited to see what our listeners achieve.
Me too.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one piece of advice you would give to our listeners who are about to embark on their public speaking journey?
Embrace the challenge. Public speaking can be nerve-wracking, but it's also incredibly rewarding.
Yeah.
You know, remember, you have something valuable to share and your voice deserves to be heard. So prepare well, practice diligently, and step onto that stage with confidence.
I love that. Embrace the challenge.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that growth often happens outside our comfort zones.
Absolutely.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it informative,
Insightful.
yeah, insightful, and maybe even a little inspiring.
Yeah, good luck with your speeches.
And remember, we'll be back soon with more deep dives into the world of communication. Until then, keep practicing, keep learning, and keep using your voices to make a difference.